We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are glad you're on board today. Hopefully you're having a fantastic day this Friday as we get you ready for the weekend. Nice win last night by the Milwaukee Bucks. I mean, I wish it was a comfortable win, an easy win, a win in which they dominated the Celtics. But, hey, it's a win. You just take it. You take it. First game back. Take it. You move on. We talked a little bit about maybe a drop-off, getting that cohesion back. But nevertheless, they get a win, and so that's good news, and that's all you were looking for last night. Bucks and Celtics down at the Fiserv Forum, and boy, I tell you what, it was a fantastic evening, and Kevin Harlan had the call. Good to hear Kevin Harlan with the call last night. Always good when he gets a chance to come back into this area, and especially when he's calling some Bucks. But Kevin Harlan is so smooth; he can do anything. He really can. He can do anything. He can go from football and Westwood One and Monday nights when you get a chance to hear him to calling basketball games, college hoops games, whatever it happens to be. The guy's just smooth.
They're 19% shooting, and there's a throwaway. Oh, Morris into the crowd, spilled the beer. And will they cross the line? They do. Morris is dripping with beer. Paxtold, Steyer, some Schlitz maybe, who knows? He's just soaked in beer in the pour, and it's in the guy's hair. It's in the guy's hair. Your Bledsoe with a three. No. Beer is every place. Some of Milwaukee's, the Miller High Life spilled on the floor. Can't think of any more beers.
Oh, my goodness. You are on a ride to tell.
Kyrie with a miss.
You have decompressed in the Turks and Caicos. You are on fire, my friend.
You're talking about Brogdon with a three. No. Another miss. 17% combined shooting in this third quarter. Horford, three. No.
Another. How many no's are you going to say in this telecast?
I don't know. Let's spill some more beer. That'll get the crowd going.
Will he get a free one?
I would hope so. We're in the beer capital of the world. Here comes Middleton, working on the defense of Horford, holding on to his position. Down goes Middleton.
So there you go. A dissertation on being covered in beer. Nice. Good stuff from Kevin Harlan. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. They were making comments. I was on a spin bike this morning. I was watching ESPN, and they were making comments this morning about going into the stands and knocking over beer because of Beer Capital and Beer City and all that kind of different stuff. So yeah, there was some beer being flown around last night. It's, you know what though, that's the way it's supposed to be. If you go into the stands, you hot dog falling on you and beer in your face and nachos everywhere. That's kind of the way it's supposed to be. That's a cool front row. You get that in Milwaukee. If you do that, say out at the Staples Center, you get sushi in your drawers. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Give us a shout. Want to hear from you. The Bucks get a nice win yesterday and still hanging on to the best record in the NBA. And there you go, Kevin Harlan with a classic call. So a couple of different things. Has this Bucks team, with the way that they, and it was good to see Chris Middleton last night get that final bucket. Has this Bucks team, because for a while we were kind of figuring out whether or not they could close games out and close games against good teams down the stretch, and And last night, they got it. They pulled one out last night. Good stuff for the Milwaukee Bucks. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Bucks. They get, by the way, Giannis, 12 of his 30 points came in the fourth quarter last night. Chris Middleton, like I said, hit that big one. But Giannis gets another, what was his box score last night? I didn't even see what his box score was. I was watching on, he is a couple of games ahead of James Harden in the scoring 30, was it 30 point plus points he had last night? What was his line score? Let me check this real quick here. He ended up with 30 points, a couple of blocks, 13 boards, and 6 assists. So I think the number was 30 points or more, 10 or more rebounds, and 5 or more assists. And he's done that 3 more times this season than James Harden has done it. I mean, because as much as James Harden has been in the news for the amount of points that he's put in, Giannis has been as steady, if not steadier, when it comes to certain numbers like that. Giannis is still just, he's just so fun to watch. I don't know how else to put it. He's just so fun to watch. So anyway, last night, big night down at the Five Serve. I'll tell you, a couple of times they had gotten steals late in that ballgame. And it was dunks back and forth and fast break points back and forth. But I was glad to see the Bucks play some defense down the stretch. It was good. 855-830-8648. Giannis and Irving, both who had 10 of 22 points in the fourth quarter. It was a rematch since squaring off of Sunday's All-Star game. Everybody's kind of pointing to that last night. I know they were talking about that. Giannis added 13 points. Middleton had 15 points, season high, 13 boards. Malcolm Brogdon, 15 points for the Bucks. Won 15 of 17 games, including 9 of the last 10, to improve to 44-14 and a season high 30 games over 500. Good stuff. Have the Bucks finally learned how to win close games against good teams? Are you feeling more and more confident with each passing day? I got to admit, I was a little bit nervous when they were trailing in that ballgame for a short period of time, and I thought, you know what? Maybe this might be that game that wakes them up, slaps them right in the face. But this still was a game that could slap them right in the face, and they still walked away with a victory. That's the best part about it. So it was good to see them last night. Hey, coming up today on the program, Gary D'Amato, the senior writer for the Wisconsin Golf. He's going to be here. Brian Anderson, Brewers television announcer for Fox Sports Wisconsin and Turner Sports. He is going to be here. We're going to talk with our Green and Gold analyst, Paul Emig, today. Danny Cunningham, Score North in the Twin Cities, host of the Raised by the Wolves podcast, talking some Timberwolves coming up here in a little bit. We're going to hear from him as well. So we got a lot of good stuff coming up today. Let's go to Rick on the South Side. Rick, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show.
Hey, Bill, thanks for taking my call. It's been a while since we talked.
Appreciate it.
Hey, Bill, just, we were watching the game last night, and a couple of my buddies were talking about the threes that the Bucks take, a lot of the threes. And, you know, I was sitting there talking to them, and I said, you know, the difference between years past is the transitional defense that the Bucks get back and defend. I don't know if you noticed that, if you had any intake on if you see that, or is it just me just trying to justify their threes? But I think their defense has just been solid this year, Bill. And I just wanted to see what you had to say. And with that, I'll let you go and fear the deer, baby.
Yep. No, I completely agree. 855-830-8648. Defense has gotten better. This was one of the things we talked about the other night with George Hill when we were asking him about Budenholzer's kind of philosophy. And he said, you know, basically just go out and play. Go out and play free. But one of the things that they really emphasize is, you know, specifically, you know, obviously shoot the basketball, okay? Shoot the lights out. Shoot it from everywhere. But he said, look, if shots aren't falling, one of the other areas that they can really excel in is playing better defense, tighter defense. And that's one of the things that Budenholzer has wanted this team to do. And they've been able to do it. They've been able to do it consistently. You know, we've seen good defensive stops. We saw a couple last night when they needed it most. And then they turn around and convert. One time they converted, one time they didn't. But nevertheless, when you can convert it and you're stopping the other team from scoring, you know, you're doing something more than what we've seen in the past. How many times have we seen a game where they, you know, they drop 120, 130, but they end up losing the game by 2, you know? This year's team has been far better. They're just look at their margin of victory. Now, last night obviously wasn't nearly as big. But their margin of victory has been on all for the entire season, it's been right around 10 points. I mean, that's D-ing it up. That's still D-ing it up and still scoring quite a bit. 855-830-8648. This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends At Cousin Subs, the Reuben is back. Limited time only. You've got the corned beef piled high. Wisconsin Swiss cheese. You've got the sauerkraut also. Thousand Island dressing on the rye bread. Good stuff from Cousin Subs, but it's for a limited time, and they have some delivery available, so call the location nearest you and see if they deliver. Go to CousinSubs.com. That's CousinSubs.com. You can also download the app if you choose to do so, or just stop in. Tell them we sent you. It's fantastic. That's where they believe in better, and they are the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. We've got more right after this.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are glad to have you. This portion of the program being brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Summer right around the corner. We know it's going to happen eventually. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Gary D'Amato, the senior writer for Wisconsin Golf, is going to be here. Nothing says summer like playing golf in Wisconsin. And whether you're on the golf course or you're out at Wednesday Night Live, Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of summer and the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Have the Bucks, in your opinion, finally kind of learned how to win, how to close out a game against a really good team? Boston's one of those top teams. I don't know how well Boston is going to be, how good Boston is going to be come the end of the season. But what I do know is Boston was picked as one of the top teams, really the top team in the East. I think going into the season, we all just assumed Boston was going to be that team. They're 37-22. They are 7.5 games now behind the Bucks. Bucks 24 games remaining. 24 games remaining, 44-14, a game and a half better than Toronto, 6 better than Indianapolis, and then you've got 6.5 better than Philadelphia, and then Boston 7.5 back. You know, the shame of it is in the East, the final two teams in the East, Charlotte and Detroit, both under 500.
And there's three other teams behind them that could also get into the playoffs that could also be under 500. Orlando's right there. Miami's right there. Washington still has a chance.
Yep.
So it was an impressive win last night. And offensively for the Bucks, it wasn't all that great for most of the game. Their defense is really where they stepped it up and where really they played consistently through all four quarters. I just, what really amazed me was seeing your key guys, not just Giannis, but Middleton with that big three-pointer to give him the lead late, the drive by Eric Bledsoe to finish, the pull-up jumper from Malcolm Brogdon, all those coming in the final couple minutes of the game, Giannis hitting both of his free throws. This just goes to show how ready this team is, how ready they are to really make a jump in the playoffs, to really be this team that can get through round by round and get to the NBA Finals. Because those are the kind of performances, Bill, that you have to have, especially against opponents like the Boston Celtics. That was impressive to see all four of those guys chip in that game where it just kept going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I was just, that's what really blew me away last night.
We were mentioning that back and forth, a couple of stops, and you walk away with a victory. And then, like I said, the big, Giannis had a good night. A lot of guys filled in and had a good night last night. But to me, it was Chris Middleton hit that big bucket. And this was one of the things you and I were talking about. I'm not saying that Chris Middleton is a max contract guy. I'm not saying that. What I am saying, though, is that there's a role for Chris Middleton on this team. And I was listening yesterday to a couple of different shows, one of them national, one of them local, and they're talking about Chris Middleton and the value to the Milwaukee Bucks and what he brings. I don't know what the discount is for keeping the team together. I like what George Hill had to say when we were talking about, you know, the offseason and whether or not you have to recruit. And he said, we don't have to recruit because we feel we've got a good group of guys that all want to be here. I wonder what that's going to mean come the offseason, how much you want to be here. Do you want to be here and be a part of this, or do you want the money, therefore somebody has to go? Because you know they're gonna, there's going to be some guys that are going to get raises, and rightfully so. But do you want to be here and be a part of this, or do you want to be somewhere else and get the money, which is great, but then you're not in this situation. You're not in a really good group of guys. You're not in a good locker room. You're not in a fun, as George Hill put it, this is a fun place to come to work. He said there's been places where he's played where you hated to leave the wife and kids. You didn't want to leave the house because you're like, man, this sucks. I got to go to work. You're making millions, don't get me wrong, but work is work. No matter where it is you are, you'd like to be happy in your workplace. And how much is it worth to stay with the Milwaukee Bucks? 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Want to take phone calls if you want to chime in. Feel free to do so. We've got a couple of emails I want to get to as well. This is from Mark. Mark writes in Wendy's email inbox, great to see Middleton get the big three last night. I was rooting for him in a three-point contest. I'd love to see him start to break out. I don't know if that's going to drive his price up or not, but I'd love to see Middleton become a viable piece down the stretch. 855-830-8648, which is exactly what we were talking about. But 24 games remaining in the season. Do you base, let's say Chris Middleton gets hot now and throughout the postseason. Let's just say he does. What do you do at the end of the season? Do you base it upon the 24 games, 25 games, and then the postseason? Or do you base it on what he did, kind of the up and down offensive season that he's had? And I know he's the lightning rod. He's the guy that everybody's talking about. So I'm just throwing it out there and asking, what do you do? What would you base it off of? If you go and win an NBA title, you're not changing anything. You know? So what do you do? What would you base it on as far as Chris Middleton and his next contract being? I don't think you have to open up by going, well, we're going to give you the max. I don't think you have to do that. I think what you do is you, if this is the way it's being portrayed, Connaughton said it, George Hill said it, this is this family-like group, everybody gets along, there's leaders, they enjoy one another, their families enjoy one another. If this is that type of group, and you don't have anybody needing all the money and needing all the limelight, what do you do? Do you then have an open dialogue and go to Chris and say, hey, you know what? You know, we want to keep you here. What are you looking for? You know, because you always want to know and say, look, we just feel that we can't max contract everybody. You know that. You know, there's a guy that stirs the drink. That's Giannis. And everybody else is just kind of fill in. And everybody's done a great job of checking their egos at the door. What can we do? And this goes back to when we were talking about great organizations. Goes back to Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick in the sense that they know their families, they know their kids, they know their wives, they know, you know, who's got going what on in school. You're more than just a commodity. And that's kind of the way Budenholzer has kind of put his arms around this organization as well as the head coach. So what do you do when you go to Chris Middleton? What would you, if you're Budenholzer, what do you say? If you're John Horst, what do you say? Now, granted, you don't have that conversation right now because you're waiting to see how the rest of the season unfolds. But I still think that in some area, if you really want to keep the chemistry and you really feel that he's a good, solid counter or complementary piece to what Giannis has going on and this team has going on and what you need, I think you go to him and say, hey, look, you're not a max guy, but you're not bottom-of-the-basement guy. What can we do to meet in the middle and make you happy, us happy, and keep this whole thing together?
All right, so here's just a little clue on this whole Middleton future thing. So Zach Lowe, ESPN, wrote a tremendous piece on Chris Middleton, and really it's kind of like the whole history of Chris Middleton, you know, going all the way back to when he was doing the AAU stuff. I mean, he was getting into college, how he kind of fought his way through college, and how he's been a quiet person, and talks about some of the coaches that influenced him, including Jason Kidd. But at the very end of the piece, Mark Lazary was interviewed, and Mark Lazary lately has been saying a lot of stuff that's drawn a lot of attention nationally. Here was something out of the piece. It was at the very end. It says, the Bucks know they might have to pay $30 million per season to keep Middleton. Quote, does he love Milwaukee enough to re-sign? Lazary asks. Quote, yes. Enough to give us a real discount? No. That was Mark Lazary.
Mm-hmm.
I don't fault Chris Middleton if other teams want to pay him the max. It's all about money. It's just greed.
No, it's, I agree. If it's all about money, then go be all about money. That's great. Then it, put it this way. Then the fans and Giannis and everybody else can't complain. Because if that's what he wants to do, go for it. I just don't think he's a max contract guy. I don't think the Bucks think he's a max contract guy. And if other teams look at him and go, that's a max contract guy, my question to that team would be, why? Why? Now, if he comes and pours it on and he's that guy, then maybe you can say I might reconsider. But for what he's shown us this year, he's battled back. He's done amazing things. He's been that glue guy. But they've given him opportunities too. And they paid him pretty well to do that. So if it's just all about, I'm going to go get my money, I'm going to go be a star somewhere, go be a star somewhere. Because you're not going to be a star on your own. You're just not. He's not that guy.
At the end of the day, Bill, it just comes down to this. At least to me, this is how I simplify it. If they're getting to the NBA Finals, Chris Middleton will have a part to play in that. I think if the Bucks are there, it's because Chris Middleton was playing very well, and Chris Middleton was helping them win basketball games, and Chris Middleton was not in some kind of weird cold streak throughout. If they get to the NBA Finals or even the Eastern Conference Finals, Chris Middleton, I think, has a big part to play in that. And if that's the case, then I lean more towards to just give him the money and we'll go from there. But beyond that, if there's anything short of that, then I think the Bucks have every right to reconsider and not consider giving him that kind of money.
Mm-hmm.
But I think at the end of the day, in order for the Bucks to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, bare minimum, Chris Middleton has to play very well. That's the only way I see it.
855-830-8648. Give us a shout. Coming up next, Gary D'Amato, senior writer for the Wisconsin Golf Network. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. We'll be back with him right after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
You know, truly humbled by this opportunity because it's, you know, I'm very passionate about this competition. And, you know, some people see this. They don't think I'm very passionate about or fiery about playing the game of golf and what I do for a living. But deep down, I'm very competitive. We want to win this more than ever, and I'm here to help in any way I can.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are glad to have you. Thanks so much, as always. Hopefully you're having a good day today. That is Steve Stricker as we are counting down now to the Ryder Cup. Senior writer for Wisconsin.golf, Gary D'Amato, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Gary, how you doing?
Good, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing well today. Doing good.
Good.
Well, you know, the announcement, Steve Stricker gets the captain spot for the Ryder Cup. First and foremost, I mean, that was a kind of a shot of adrenaline in the world of golf, and specifically so right here in our own backyard, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, not surprising at all. It had been rumored and speculated for months, if not a couple years, that he was going to be the next captain. But until the announcement is made, you know, you don't know for sure. But once I saw that the announcement was pegged for Pfizer for him in Milwaukee, you got to figure that they're not going to fly Tiger Woods in to announce him as Ryder Cup captain in Milwaukee. So, yeah, it was pretty much a done deal, and good for the state, good for Steve.
So, as we count down now to this Ryder Cup that you know, obviously is on the docket here in the state of Wisconsin, so I guess my question is, what are we looking for out of all of this? Obviously, we're looking for tourism. Obviously, we're looking for notoriety. Because this is really, is this kind of the last hurrah for majors in the state of Wisconsin?
You know, for now it is. Nothing else is imminent or on the horizon. I can't believe that it's the last thing we're going to get. I mean, I'm sure Aaron Hills is probably still talking to the USGA about future stuff, and if and when you know, Herb Kohler gets that fifth golf course built, he's building that for the U.S. Open. So I think, you know, things will come in the future, but the Ryder Cup is it for the big ones for at least the foreseeable future.
So the Ryder Cup team, now, for people that don't know, how is this Ryder Cup team chosen as we start to draw towards next season?
Yeah, there's a point system that the players based on finishes, and they get points based on top tens and finishes in regular tour events over the next 17 months here, and then they get double points for majors and winning tournaments. So it's a point system. There are eight guys who make the team on points, and then Stricker's going to get four captain's picks, a couple of weeks before the competition, he'll name those. So a 12-man team against 12 of Europe's best.
Looking for that's the Ryder Cup is such just a great event. It's unlike any other, isn't it?
You know, it's really interesting, Bill. The Ryder Cup was really almost a non-event for the first 60 years of its existence. And then Europe got good, and it became an actual rivalry because, you know, the U.S. kept drumming Great Britain, Ireland team. And then they expanded to Europe, and lo and behold, Seve Ballesteros comes along, Bernhard Langer, Ian Woosnam, Sandy Lyle, Nick Faldo, all those really, really world-class top players who won majors. And suddenly it's a competition. And now that Europe has been thrashing the U.S. pretty regularly, it's become a real competition. And so it's gone from, 30 years ago being just a blip on the radar screen to becoming really the biggest event in golf, I think.
This season, obviously Tiger didn't have a great early run to the season, but he's played some decent golf. There's still a lot of people that believe that he's going to move the needle. What does Tiger need to do this year to kind of, I'm not going to say redeem himself, because last year I think it was a redemption year. Last year he played pretty good golf. But is golf wide open right now, or are we still waiting to see if Tiger can kind of come back and capture just a little bit of the magic he once had?
Yeah, you're right. He's captured that magic in little spurts. He certainly has been consistently great, like he was, for the 12-year run that we saw him on. You know, he won the Tour Championship, and he had a couple of close calls in majors last year. I think he's back, and when I say that, I mean he's back as far back as he's going to get. We're never going to see the Tiger Woods we saw in 2000. I mean, that was a once in a lifetime for us to see that. But he's going to win tournaments again. He's going to chase down Sam Snead's record of 83 tour wins. I think Tiger's three short right now. He's going to get that record. Is he going to get Jack's record of 18 majors? Tiger's got 14. No, I don't think that's realistic. But it wouldn't surprise me if he won one more. That's for sure.
Right. No, I've always said I thought he might win one more. I don't know if he's going to win, two or three, but certainly I thought he could probably put it all together and win one more. He just hasn't been able to put a four full days together. He's given you one or two rounds, and he's given you that excitement where you peek over the fence, and then we start watching him put it into the, corporate hospitality tents, and he kind of gives you glimpses of what he was, only a few years ago. But I still think that he's got something left in the tank.
Yeah, there's no question, and you're right. He hasn't been able to put, or at least very rarely in the last year, has he been able to put four rounds together. And, that makes him just like everybody else, just basically, who plays golf. All the other top players, even we see Jordan Spieth struggling right now. I saw he shot a big number yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to put four rounds together consistently like Tiger did, and we got spoiled by it. And, that can't go on forever. But can he win again? Sure, he can win again.
I was just thinking when you were talking about that, we saw Rory went on a little bit of a run, Jordan went on a little bit of a run, but that sustained run of year after year after year of somebody dominating the game, you're right. I think the word is spoiled because we became so enamored with the Tigerisms, the just Tiger being this dominant golfer that he just walked onto the course and everybody just crumbled around him. And now you're seeing, I hate to say on any given week, but that's kind of it. Any given week, somebody just gets hot. Their game comes together. They have a course that really kind of suits their style. And when all of that comes together, you're seeing these guys win these tournaments. But it's the days of domination, unless somebody just bursts onto the scene and recaptures our imagination the way Tiger did, the days of domination, I think those might be gone for a while, but we should kind of enjoy some of the names near the top. And then guys like Brooks Koepka, who you really didn't hear a lot about until all of a sudden he burst onto the scene at Erin Hills and what he's been able to accomplish. You look at guys like that, there's going to be probably more guys like that than there will be Tiger Woods in our lifetime from here on out, right?
Oh, no doubt about it. But I mean, if you look at Tiger, until he got hurt and had the surgeries and everything, until like 3 years ago, he had won something like 27% of the tournaments he entered. Jack Nicklaus won 12% of the tournaments he entered, and everybody else, all the other great players that you named, Rory, Jordan Spieth, all those guys are between 3% and 5% of the tournaments they win. So we saw something just extraordinary out of Tiger for that those many years. Now we've come back to the norm where if a guy has a great year, he wins twice. Fantastic year, he wins three times. And it's just spread out because there's so many good players and there's not a Tiger Woods.
Right now in golf, excuse me, who are the hotter golfers right now? Who are you paying attention to that could have a big year?
I think Justin Rose is quietly. I mean, people don't pay a lot of attention to him and don't, you know, when you think of the big names in golf, people don't mention him too often, but he's been, I think, the best player in the world the last 6 or 8 months. I wouldn't doubt at all if he wins a major or two this year, maybe even the Masters right out of the gate here in a few weeks. Rory McIlroy, if he can solve his putting, you know, I'd like him in the big tournaments. He's never been a great putter. He's a streaky putter. And if he gets hot, he's as good as anybody, but he doesn't have those hot streaks in majors, it seems like, too often anymore. You know, I look for Jason Day to have a rebound year here. He had some issues last year. His mom died, and he had some health issues, and I look for him to bounce back. And then you can't count out Phil. I mean, Phil's playing great golf, and when he gets to Augusta, something happens to him. And, you know, I wouldn't put it past him to win another major.
I was just going to say, what has made Phil better? Because we've seen a lot of golfers that they tail off as time goes on. Tiger's still struggling to come back. What has made Phil, what has given Phil this resurgence?
You know, it's amazing. If you look at his career, Bill, you know, he's in his late 40s now, and what he's had sustained excellence for a long, long time. Not too many guys in golf have done what he's been able to do. And I think, you know, I think Phil still gets motivated to improve. I still think he works on his game hard. And when he has a little bit of a dry spell, he gets motivated to come back and play well. Like he's always had that inner, whatever it takes, that drive to improve. But mostly, it's been his putting. His putting has improved. He worked on it hard in the off season, and we've seen Phil miss a million three-footers over his career, but he's making those putts now, and I think that's a big difference.
Great stuff as always, Gary. Hey, before I let you go, with Jordan Spieth, it's kind of neat with his dad on the back, isn't it?
That is neat, yeah. Michael Greller had to take a little bit of a leave here,
yeah.
And his regular caddy. Yeah, that's really neat to see.
That's kind of cool. Whenever you see some of these family stories like that, I love, because
yeah.
That's, you know, Jordan Spieth's always been a likable guy anyway with his family dynamic, but, you know, then to see that happen over the weekend or coming into this weekend, it's pretty cool stuff. Good stuff as always, pal. And, hey, before I let you go, when you talk about Whistling Straits, now when do they begin to reconfigure or configure the course?
They've been working on it already, Bill. They've been tweaking it here and there, especially for corporate hospitality, because they're going to have more corporate hospitality tents on that course
right.
than they had at the PGA. And then Steve Stricker is going to come in, you know, once in a while over the next year and a half and make recommendations as to how he wants to see the course set up. So it's going to evolve now for the next 17 months.
Should be good. Should be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I wonder how many small hotels are going to go up in that area in anticipation of this thing.
Let's put one up, Bill.
Yeah, I know. Make a little money for a short period of time anyway. There you go. Thanks so much, Gary. Appreciate it, pal, okay?
All right, Bill. Take care.
Talk to you soon. There you go. Gary D'Amato, senior writer for Wisconsin.golf. You can read his stuff there. That's Wisconsin.golf. He joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE and go to SchneiderJobs.com. 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. When we come back, there's a lot of Ryder Cup excitement in this state, and we're going to try to talk more about this coming up next week, but the tickets sold extremely well for the last PGA event, and when you bought the tickets for the last PGA event, you automatically got into this Ryder Cup discussion when it comes to tickets as well, and for those that don't have tickets, I mean, the tickets are obviously on sale, but I think if I'm not mistaken, Joe, was I reading correctly the other day that the corporate hospitality is pretty much sold out? I think corporate hospitality is pretty much sold out at this point. I mean, people are jumping all over that. So it's going to be the PGA and the U.S. Open, both enormous events. This is going to be even bigger. It just will be. We'll talk more Ryder Cup when we come back. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. One of the big duties for Steve Stricker, even before he was appointed the U.S. Ryder Cup captain, was to get a hold of Patrick Reed. We'll talk about that coming up here momentarily because of what happened in Paris this past year. This portion of the program, we are heading down to Arizona in spring training, and we're going there compliments of some good people. Cornet and the whole staff at Coach's Pub and Grill, South 13th Street in Milwaukee, home of the Big Boy Burger. Stop in, tell Cornet we said hi. They have a great fish fry growing on tonight. Stop in, tell them we said hi. That's Coach's Pub and Grill.com, Coach's Pub and Grill.com. Also, Brooke and Pat and everybody over at Signature Limousine, they're your one-stop shop. I'm telling you what, when it comes to being one of the nation's leading ground transportation providers, they got it going on. Go to booksignature.com. That's booksignature.com. Again, booksignature.com. They're small enough to know your name, big enough to handle every one of your needs. And they're great people there as well. And then our friends out at Skipper Buds. Skipper Buds, we're getting into warmer weather eventually. We're going to get a lot of rain this week. You may need a boat. But go to skipperbuds.com and see all that they have to offer, whether it's a pontoon for, kind of putzing around some of the lakes around here, maybe a sport boat, a deck boat, a fishing boat. Obviously, they're big. Or if you want to head out to the lake, you got a big yacht, you want a cruiser, you can do that as well. They have Four Winds, Mastercraft, Taiga, if you're into the Taiga and Scarab, if you're into the water sports. A lot of great stuff out at Skipper Buds. Go to skipperbuds.com. That's skipperbuds.com. They have the used boat sale right now. They're trying to get rid of a bunch of used inventory from over the winter. So if you're looking for a good deal, now is the time to strike a deal. Get that thing ready, serviced, summarized, and then get it out the door when you're ready to go and the lake's all thawing and you can be one of the first people on the lake and enjoy the outdoors, all from our friends over at Skipper Buds. Go over and say hi to Todd anyway. Todd's the general manager of the one out in Pewaukee. Tell him I sent you. Steve Stricker, one of the first things that he did was to reach out to Patrick Reed, I should say. Because remember, when they had that defeat to Europe, it was in Paris this past year, he ended up going and telling the New York Times that he was upset. He wasn't paired with Jordan Spieth, and he was paired with Tiger, and it wasn't a good fit, and he wasn't comfortable, and just on and on and on. Everybody talked to this guy. Good golfer, but just seemed like just a whiner after everything. It's like, just do your part. Shut up and do your part. But one of the things that Steve Stricker had to do was reach out to Patrick. He said they had a good conversation, said it's all been handled, it's all in the past, they're moving forward, all the things you want to hear, but now it's up to Patrick Reed to even be able to make the team, obviously, because there's a lot of golf left to play. I think Steve Stricker said that, but when you talk about being the Ryder Cup captain, it's not just about being the captain of a team and putting together this roster of guys to go up against Europe. This is about massaging a lot of egos, man. You don't realize how petulant some of these golfers are until you pair them up together. And if they win, all is great. Everybody loves everybody. Man, what a great job he did. What a great job I did. Boy, we played as a team. We did that. But when they lose, just you talk about some of the most petulant, whiny guys. Grown-ass men that just whine. Just go do your job. And they get all bent out of shape, but Patrick Reed was one of them. So Steve Stricker, his first duty next to going to press conferences and being announced as the captain was to kind of massage the ego of Patrick Reed a little bit and talk to him. Apparently Tiger talked to him too. Tiger, I guess, had reached out to him. They were 0-2 together as teammates in Paris. But I guess Tiger had to reach out to him too and just say, hey, you know, what's the problem? You know, it's time to put on the big boy pants and grow up a little bit. But nevertheless, that was one of their first duties. I'm excited. I'm excited for the Ryder Cup. I can't imagine what this state is going to be like for the week or two leading up to and then immediately following the Ryder Cup and the way it's... Because if you've ever really watched one, if you're a golf fan, if you've ever watched a Ryder Cup, it's like going to a football game. It's like going to a college basketball game. It's screaming and yelling and fist... It's unlike the regular golf that you see week in and week out where it's the gentleman's sport. It's the golf clap. It's a little bit of cheering, but don't do too much. Don't go over the top or you're going to be asked to leave, which to a certain extent, I understand that. But the Ryder Cup, that's just the opposite. That is drinking and fun and screaming and yelling and fist pumping and can be loud uniforms and high-fiving. And I mean, it's not exactly what you see. You know what? Part of the reason we became so enamored with Tiger is because Tiger showed that kind of emotion when he was early on on the PGA Tour. He had the fist pumps and the clubs in the air, and he wasn't just walking towards the ball holding a club in the air. He was walking towards the ball, pointing at it, screaming, fist pumping, people kind of getting behind him, feeling the emotion. He brought you into the game. So that's what the Ryder Cup is. So even if you're not a big golf fan, you got to be excited that the Ryder Cup is coming to the state of Wisconsin. Looking forward to that. Hey, after the top of the hour, Brian Anderson, Brewers television announcer for Fox Sports Wisconsin and Turner Sports, he is going to be here. We're going to talk with him about this Brewers baseball team. A lot of rain. Did you see all the rain they're getting down in Arizona? I mean, it's not like just, you know, kind of drizzly days. I mean, it's pouring down there. And up in Flagstaff, they got 38 inches of snow in a matter of about a 24-hour period. That's just, they're getting it at different elevations out in Arizona, obviously. But by the way, all that buck is coming our direction. That's what we're supposed to get beginning later tonight and tomorrow.
I have some breaking news.
Yeah.
Sources have told Yahoo Sports that New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft is one of dozens of men being investigated as part of an expansive prostitution solicitation sweep in Jupiter, Florida.
Oh, my God. I'm just reading this.
Jupiter Police Chief confirms that Robert Kraft charged in prostitution ring bust.
He was arrested. He was arrested. Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots, has been arrested. Now, here's the question. What was he arrested as a part of an owner-operator or as a patron? Oh, my goodness. That's, wow.
That's a shame.
They announced more details in a human trafficking investigation. Oh, my goodness. That is amazing. We'll find out more on that coming up here shortly. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michael Show next.
Station strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.